Welcome to Spark Stories, where entrepreneurs and experts share their brand story and how they found their spark, the spark that started it all.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Spark Stories. We are in the studio today with Mr. Corey Elias, and we're excited. He's here with Franchise Captain and the North Georgia School of Ballet. How's it going, Corey?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. We're so excited to hear who you are and what you do and why it matters and how you're going to share with our community all the fun and exciting things that are going on in your world.
Thank you very much.
All right. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Corey.
So I'm born and raised in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Welcome to Georgia.
Yes. Thank you. I've been down here about 10 years now. So love it down here. Don't miss shoveling, but, lived in New Hampshire, lived in New York, lived in California and settled down here in Georgia now. Very excited to be sharing the businesses I'm in and all of that. I started my first company about 12 years ago.
Okay.
Small company. I owned a duplex. So it was a property management rental company. And that kind of spurned wanting to be financially independent and really get out of corporate America at some point. It took me 10 years. But
you know, it's a leap of faith to go ahead and start that first opportunity. And it's interesting, a lot of people do start off in real estate. So tell us, why do you think that was the best choice for you to go down the real estate road?
Yeah, that's true. And I love you've done the same thing, taken that leap and gone off on your own. So it's exciting. It's what I do on a daily basis. It's exciting to help people do that same thing. So real estate, I read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad,
okay,
Robert Kiyosaki's book, mm-hmm, way back when. And that got me to, rather than investing in a single family home, I invested in a duplex. I renovated one half while I lived in the other, and then I switched. And for years, I lived in that while renting out the other part and paying the mortgage.
Very smart.
And it happened to be, it was in a rough area at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It got broken into a few times while I was there, and it was tough go.
Now, was that here in Atlanta or back in New Hampshire?
That was in Atlanta.
Okay, so you started your first real estate property here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it happened to be in Old Fourth Ward.
Okay.
Which has since become one of the biggest real estate booms ever, and Pont City Market is there, and it's right across the street from that. But I endured some hard times.
But you're a visionary.
I had a really good realtor, Thompson Hatfield. He helped me through, and he helps investors and really helped me to have that vision as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the rental income and getting that was a big piece. So I've always been a good saver. I've been able to really be financially responsible. Thank you to my parents for
thanks, parents. That's a hard lesson learned. And as an entrepreneur, you have to be a great saver. Save for rainy days, right?
You do. You do, yes.
So it's a good tip to take away.
you wear a lot of hats in a business, and you can't hire someone for every role that you want to fill. So you save a lot of money that way too.
So that's a very interesting point, because I refer to it as almost like shifting gears, but as I heard other people refer to wear many hats. If you had to guess how many hats that you wear, how many hats would you put on, Corey?
Well, I guess technically I have three businesses.
Oh, wow.
So North Georgia School of Ballet is right here in Sandy Springs. My wife is the heart and soul and the everyday of that. We have classes for children all the way up to adult, and I think we have about 45 different classes now. And 3 years ago, we took that over, and there were 24 classes. So we've had about 400% growth. We already had to move into a new facility, 4,000 square feet, beautiful facility with three studios. And she wears most of the hats on that business. She teaches the classes. She does all the marketing, and we're a really good team bouncing ideas off of each other. I'm very involved in the community, mm-hmm, board of directors for Sandy Springs Education Force. So really getting our name out there with the business community. But ultimately it's anyone who walks in the door is greeted with a smile and leaves happy and excited. And one thing I've really pushed with just dance in general is it's not about just the pretty costumes and going in and dressing up and having fun. There's such a learning element to it. You're using both sides of your brain. You have the creative side, the art side of dance, but it's very physical. It's very difficult. The point of dance is making it look really easy, but it's extremely difficult. So I wear a lot of hats, and obviously I'm very passionate about that business. And I love being there, and I love what we can do for our dancers. In my other business, I'm a franchise broker.
So, oh, very interesting.
Yeah. So most people don't know that that's a thing. So, call myself a franchise consultant. Company is Franchise Captain. And it's really, you probably know the poem by William Ernest Henley, being the captain of my ship.
Yes.
And that's kind of what I'm passionate about helping people do, is take that financial independence that I've learned how to do for myself and help other people do that. Help other people, whether it's escape corporate America or diversify income or whatever it might be. But I work with about 1,000 different franchise concepts. So helping them find a business that is a great fit for them.
Oh, great. So how would a non-franchisor owner, if they're interested in going down that route, how do you consult them? Are we coming into your office for a consultation and we go through a series of a questionnaire or some type of assessment? And then how do we choose what works best for us financially as well as align with our passion?
So the process is a lot of soul searching. So it's mostly remote. I work nationwide. So I work with clients. I just had one the other day in Texas and one in Michigan that got franchises. So, the process is really a deep dive, really soul searching. It's a lot of listening. I can't sell someone on a franchise.
Sure.
It's too big of a commitment, not of just money. Obviously, it's a big financial commitment, but just time in general. So going through that process and really learning what they're passionate about.
Okay.
And I'll give you an example. I worked with someone right here in Georgia, and we did meet personally, but she was in insurance for 25 years.
Okay.
So she had looked into, like, she could go and start her own insurance agency, or she could get a franchise system and join that. But insurance just wasn't doing it for her anymore. It wasn't checking those boxes. It wasn't making her happy. She wasn't excited to get out of bed every day and do it, which unfortunately a lot of people are like that.
You're
not jumping out of bed to go to work, but you can. So she wanted to find something, and she actually is starting right over by Stone Mountain. She's starting a doggy daycare.
Selling insurance to a doggy daycare.
Yes,
so that sounded like it was passion driven.
It was. It absolutely was. And she was excited. She wants to work with animals. Now, it's still a business.
Sure.
She's once again wearing all those hats. And whether it's franchise or not, to run a business, you're wearing a lot of hats.
Sure.
Now, with a franchise, you have a lot of support and training and just assistance, and all the other franchisees want you to succeed as well. So you have a lot of people to talk to about your specific business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, there's more help. There's more assistance there when you're looking at franchise systems. But at the end of the day, it's difficult.
Okay. So what does the ideal client look like? I guess who would come and seek your services?
So it's twofold.
Mm-hmm.
I have the clients who have a lot of financial resources and want to diversify. I do work with a lot of, like, real estate agents and real estate brokers, people like that, who want to kind of diversify their business, and use the referrals they're already getting and help them with other things. On the other side, the ones I enjoy working with the most are ones who have been in corporate America. And I was in corporate America for a long time, and it's a grind. It's a difficult thing. And I enjoy helping people with that entrepreneurial spirit to escape corporate America and use their savings to get into a business. So good clients, it's not cheap. Most franchise fees start around $40,000. So you need about $150,000, $200,000 total. Now, a lot
liquid
of that
cash.
Is probably 40 to 50 liquid. at least, and then 200 or so total for the project. So there's a lot of SBA loans, or clients do 401k rollovers and use that retirement fund without the penalties to start a business and have that money working for them rather than in the
funds. Now, do you consult on that side, helping them secure the financial resources, or do you partner with an outside agency?
Great question. Yeah, I partner with an outside agency. I partner with a few. So it's all about learning the client and learning what they really, really want. What's their financial goals? What are their lifestyle goals? Mm-hmm. What are they trying to gain out of business ownership? And I'm pretty blunt about it. I've started businesses and we run businesses, and it's tough.
Right.
It's a lot of them are looking for just a lot of flexibility, and you earn that over time, but it's difficult to get there. So making sure that they understand business ownership is difficult.
Oh.
But, I have funding partners I work with. I have accountants that I work with to help them crunch the numbers. I have legal counsel that I help with to go through all of the franchise disclosure documents, which can be 200 plus page documents. So, I have a lot of resources for them. And ultimately I see myself as much as a career coach and a counselor and helping them do the soul searching that is needed to know if they can do this, if they want to do this, and if it's the best path. And some of my best clients, I've told them, hey, this probably isn't the time.
And because what is the time commitment in the beginning before starting up?
Before starting the franchise?
Before starting the franchise. How long do you go through that soul searching process and making sure that this is a good fit? Because it sounds like you just gave me the scenario for the ideal client. So what if you're not necessarily ready? You're just the visionary.
So my average client is about 3 months that it takes to go through the process and do all the due diligence. I'm not rushing anyone. Like I said, it's a big, big commitment. So we talk to the franchisor a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This is after we've kind of done the soul searching and narrowed down the franchises, and I help them find some good fits. Then we talk to the franchisor, we talk to other franchisees, we talk to legal counsel, we talk to accountants, run the numbers. We go out and visit them at their facility, at their headquarters, meet all the executive teams and really get a sense of, is this a good fit? There's horror stories of franchisors and franchisees that just clash.
They
just
really
don't get along. They don't have the same vision. And that's a tough situation. So I help to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Okay.
These are people that think and feel on the same level as you do.
Because kind of explain the franchise model versus an actual business model. Because I think a lot of people have a misunderstanding of the two. They think, hey, I really like this idea, but I can go in and change things to make it fit what I really want.
Yeah.
And I think is that false?
It depends on the system. So when people think of franchising, you think of McDonald's, right?
Right.
Like that's
more restaurants.
More restaurants. That's kind of the mindset. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I try to avoid restaurants. And unless someone is very experienced in it, they're more expensive.
Sure.
And they're riskier.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of trends that you see go up and down in restaurants. So, unless they really know that that's their niche and they've been doing it for years, we usually look elsewhere. We look at things with better return on investment and just less risk and less capital in general. So we really dig into what type of service businesses they might want, if that's the direction we're going. So you think of these very large franchise systems that have this great brand recognition. That's what most people think franchising is about. It's about having the brand recognition, but it's really about finding a company that has done it many times before in other markets and has failed and then succeeded and learned from it and spent a lot of money on those failures, but you get to learn from that. So you step in and you get this big operations manual of how to successfully run the business as it's been run many times before and been successful. And You have support there to help you. You have the training in the beginning, weeks and weeks of training on how to run a business in this specific area. And there's marketing support throughout. There's so much knowledge that these systems have to help you with.
That's great. Now, a lot of the clients that I work with, they have been in business anywhere between maybe 5 to 10 years. And they think that they could, they're at a point in their business where they would like to franchise. Do you help with that process as well to kind of vet the idea to say, hey, you have the numbers, you have the product, the service, we can duplicate this? And do you walk clients through that process?
So I have helped some folks with that, but mostly I refer that to some of the other partners I have. It's a different skill set. Really understanding what a business needs in order to franchise. When do they have a system and model that can be replicated nationwide? So I do partner with someone nearby who does a great job in taking them through that process.
Because that seems like a very challenging process.
It is.
Because a lot of time, business owners, they think that they're ready and prepared to duplicate in their business. And I'm like, I'm not sure yet. So but now I know where to send them. We're going to send them to Corey.
Well, it's funny because I get asked that all the time with North Georgia School of Ballet. It's,
right.
Are you going to franchise the business? And we are still young and still in the process of creating systems that can be duplicated. And it's tough.
Right. So, now, Corey, this is going to sound like a silly question, but I'm going to ask anyway. So if someone has multiple locations, is that the same as a franchise?
No, they would have to be part of an overall franchise system.
Okay.
So you can open multiple locations of anything on your own. But the franchisor has to kind of be present to make it a franchise.
So if you wanted to duplicate North Georgia School of Ballet, that would just be multiple locations, or would you actually go down, do the process of going through franchising?
Probably start with multiple locations. And then once you have that, we've created that system where you can duplicate it over and over again. And essentially I look at it as, could I open this up in, say, my hometown of New Hampshire? Like, could I open this and make it successful from afar? And that's when franchising can help.
Okay. Because in your case, earlier you stated that you have about 45 class offerings at the school. So would it be easier to just have one location and offer a wide range of classes, or to have multiple locations that kind of specify for that particular neighborhood or region?
It's a tough question because a dance studio is hyper local.
Okay.
We're not going to pull people from 30 miles away. We are that good. If you are 30 miles,
come on down, Sandy Springs.
But it needs to be near your work or near your home. It needs to be easy to bring the kids to or to get to after you get out of work, because we have adult classes and children's classes. So ultimately we're very hyper local. So there's only, we could double and have 6 studios and all that, but the population around us, although growing, isn't quite growing enough. So with something that's hyper local, you need to look at different locations. I've helped others in the franchise business with barbershops.
Oh, nice.
Great franchise business that you can be more absentee. You can keep your day job and have that business going on the side. You don't need to be there. Most people who own a barbershop can't cut hair. And that's most franchise systems, the person I helped get into the doggy daycare. She doesn't know anything about doggy daycare. She knows about insurance, but she's getting into a system that will train her on how to do it. So any franchise, you're not doing the work. You're buying into a system where you know how to hire the right people to do it. So
it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. That's why you're the captain. Say you're going to guide us in the right direction to make sure we're making those sound decisions when choosing a franchise.
So many good analogies.
And again, can you remind us how long have you been in business for the Franchise Captain?
So Franchise Captain's been over a year now.
Okay.
I've taken on a few good mentors, and I'm part of the Franchise Brokers Association as well. So it's really about taking all the individual, learning as much as I can, and having that support behind me with Franchise Brokers Association, with some of my mentors to help me figure out what the best fits are and things like that. But after a year, I know a lot of the franchise systems, and there's a lot of exciting ones out there for everyone.
So Corey, let me ask, where does all this passion come from? I mean, you're ballet, so dance, you're helping other people establish businesses and expand their portfolio. You're involved in the community. Where are you finding all of this drive? Why does this matter so much to you to help the community out so much?
That's a great question. I've been pretty passionate and energetic for my entire life. I actually went to college for cross country and track and field. I was a runner,
okay,
running hundreds of miles a week. Training. My goal had been Beijing. I really wanted Beijing Olympics.
Oh, wow.
In 2008. And I was a little bit off from that. I ran a 407 mile, mm-hmm, back in the day, which is fast, but not Olympics fast. So I've always had this energy and this passion. When I find something that I really enjoy, and I put my whole heart into it. And I think that's kind of what differentiates both of the businesses, is we love our clients.
Like, yeah.
I truly love helping these people and helping these clients. And it's exciting. That's what keeps me going every day. I work out of a home office, which is tough for people. And
yes,
I love it. I'm great with it. I also have a 2.5-year-old who helps keep everything in perspective and fun as well.
Sure.
So
I can. She's a cutie too. So that's really good. I mean, when anytime, like you said, if you can find something that you're passionate about, it makes it exciting. It makes it easy to wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm going to go forth and conquer. And you are doing it, Corey. I mean, gosh, like I said, you're multi-talented, and you put those, your skills, your talents, and your abilities out in the Sandy Springs community. And I love the growth. I really love seeing you, prosper in so many different areas. If you had to share any type of spark or any type of advice with future entrepreneurs, future franchise owners, dancers, real estate, all those different hats that you wear, what would be that one piece of spark?
So I think it's kind of what we were just talking about. It's love your clients, love what you do. And it doesn't always need to be a passion. Like my wife is one of the lucky ones. She took a passion for dance from when she was 4 years old,
mm-hmm,
and turned it into a career dancing professionally, and then a business going forward. And that's rare.
That's,
yes, tough to find. It's, you don't need to have the passion for the actual job, but have a passion for your customers, have a passion for your clients. There's franchise systems or businesses that you can start that maybe it's not doing what you've always loved, but you're helping people in some way. And, mm-hmm, there's a lot of passion that you can find in those things. And, I think most people like helping others.
Yes.
So finding,
that's rewarding within itself.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And helping businesses who help others, and helping, like, it's extremely rewarding, and it's easy to find passion in that when it's that rewarding.
Yes. Now, do you have anything that's coming up? Are you going to be doing any workshops or any dance, recruitment? I don't know. How can we find you? How can we work with you in all of these multiple businesses?
So, Northridge School of Ballet, we just had our open house last week. We have classes starting on August 10th. So, coming up soon. We follow a school year. Mm-hmm. So we just got done with our summer.
Summer's over.
Quote unquote off, which, you know, as a business owner, there's no time off.
Sure.
We're always recruiting and preparing and summer camps and things like that. But we enroll students all through the year.
Okay.
We have big shows. We have Nutcracker performance in December. We have a big, spring performance every year that would be announced later in the year. We had about 1,000 people come and watch Aladdin
last year for
that. So it was, and it's all original choreography. Mm-hmm. My wife and the other teachers at the studio choreograph every piece, and, it's exciting. On the franchise brokerage side, you'll see me around town. I'm at a lot of the networking events.
Very
and
good.
Just really trying to help other business owners to grow. Franchise or not, it doesn't matter. I love seeing successful entrepreneurs. I understand how difficult it is. So, yeah. If anyone needs any assistance, I'm always available. Website is francaptain.com.
Okay.
So
we're at francaptain.com. Are you on social media?
I am. Okay. North Georgia School of Ballet is all over social media. I'm not as good at it myself for my business.
Sure.
I'm supposed to take a selfie right now as well. So make sure that I do that.
I am. That's very, another hat.
I'm on LinkedIn, and use a little bit of Facebook, but mostly that's Abilene, my 2.5-year-old and all the cute things she does.
The family side. Another hat.
Another big hat. She goes, it all mixes. She's come to a few networking events, and I think you met her at an event. So she's very involved already. She'll be running the place. Well, I guess she already does.
Yeah, she already runs it. Well, that's really good. I just want to thank you for coming into the studio today and sharing with us who you are, what you do, and why it matters. So thanks for being a part of the Spark Stories community.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Spark Stories. If you're looking for more help in gaining focus, come check out our website where you can find episode show notes, browse our archives, and access free resources like worksheets, trainings, events, and more. It's all at www.shesparks.com.